Hello and welcome to the Adventure Options Podcast. You want adventures and you have options. In this episode, I have a chat with Michael Bennett, the founder of Muddy Shoes Adventures and co-founder of Explorer X. You'll want to stick around as we cover every topic imaginable, from car wrecks to Saturn to love letters. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Adventure Writers, copywriting for the travel industry. There are 4.6 billion web pages out there. Make sure yours stands out. Go to adventurewriters.agency for help. That's adventure, WRITERS.agency. Now for the show. Michael, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, Shannon. Good to be here. Thank you.
It was a little bit difficult tracking you down, but I'm glad I finally caught you.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind couple of months. Spending some time in Ireland and Italy and Germany and off to France and Spain next week. So
I came across your name initially in kind of a back way, I would say, because I mean, obviously you are affiliated with Jake Hoppert, who I've had on the podcast, and you actually know quite a few people who I've had on the podcast, but my first introduction to you was I found some random piece of copy, some random article that you wrote, and I believe it was titled something like Letter to Myself or Open Letter to Myself.
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Love letter to myself. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. It was one of my blogs from years ago.
It was so good though, because it was honest and vulnerable, and it was like the little pep talk, and I just thought it was so cute. So I usually start out, hey, how did you start into the adventure travel industry? But I want to start with that. What was the inspiration of that love letter? Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know, it was something that came out of a long period of just sort of self reflection and introspection and trying to figure out what the heck I was doing with my life and where I was going. And I think a lot of folks, I know I certainly have a tendency to be very critical, you know, and of myself and how I'm living my life and what I'm doing, where I'm going. And it was one of those where I had a moment where I said, hey, you know, you're doing okay. You're doing actually better than okay. And you need to be reminded of that. And so that's sort of the genesis of that one.
I mean this in all sincerity. That's a mean way to start this, but it was a little bit like the cooler version of that Saturday Night Live skit where the guy looks at himself in the mirror and says, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. But it was perfect for an entrepreneur like myself or a business owner or just anyone who might be struggling a little bit in their career. It was kind of the perfect little pick-me-up. How old were you when you wrote that?
Geez, I'm 40 now, so that probably would have been 35. Or so, you know, I'd started down the path of entrepreneurship and had some successes and some lessons that I learned along the way. And, you know, as these things ebb and flow, it was a period where there was maybe some more lessons than successes. And so it was just one of those reminders to myself that I'm doing the right thing. I'm following the path. I'm following my bliss and listening to my heart and going in the right direction. And, you know, you don't always get those words of encouragement from others, especially when times are a little bit rough. So I thought, you know, I got to give it to myself once in a while too.
Well, I hope it doesn't embarrass you, because I'm going to try to hunt down that link again and go ahead and put it in the show notes so that everyone.
No, it'll be great. I'll send it to you if you can't find it.
That's perfect. So let's do rewind and go back to the beginning. How did you get into the travel adventure world?
Yeah, it started when I was hit by a car in Costa Rica.
Not what I thought you were going to say.
No.
What happened?
I grew up in a family that is wonderful folks, but not travelers necessarily. Right. I think the only folks by the time I got to college, the only folks that had ever left the country were my parents. And that was one time on their honeymoon, you know, but ever since I was super young, I had this real interest in other cultures, other people. And I remember sitting around the kitchen table with my mom looking at National Geographics and saying, I want to be a photographer and I want to go and look at all these crazy people with the weird long necks and the different things that they're wearing. And I want to meet them and I want to talk to them and I want to take their photos and stuff like that. And so I had an interest in that, you know, from a very early age. And even to the point where, you know, a lot of my friends were out playing other video games. You know, this is back in the 80s. So, you know, Nintendo and Atari and whatever was going on then. And I was playing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, you know, because I loved that. And it was just so interesting and different than what my day-to-day life was, even as a kid. And so I knew from an early age that I wanted to get into travel. I wouldn't have said it at the time, but I was interested in those kinds of things. And so finally, when I got to the University of Delaware for undergrad, I decided I wanted to go abroad for at least a few weeks. And Delaware's got this great program. Actually, Delaware is the first university in the States to do a study abroad program, which is kind of cool. I did not know that when I went there, but it seems apropos at this point. So
I didn't either. We'll go ahead and bill Delaware for this little
promo. Right. So I decided I wanted to go to Costa Rica, because there's like a 7-week inter-semester period where you could go away. And I thought, well, a whole semester seemed like a lot for my first experience, but 7 weeks sounds manageable, doable. And so I went down there with about 40 other people. And, about 2 weeks into it, was out for a run with my roommate. You know, we were 19 at the time, right? So there's no drinking age. So we're drinking a lot of beer, eating a lot of unhealthy foods. So we're trying to stay in shape. We're out for a run and a car just sideswiped me and sent me flying about 40 feet through the air, landed on the gravel. I had rocks embedded in my shoulder. I had a broken hand. I had a concussion. I needed some stitches. And but by and large, I made it out quite well, because it for all intents and purposes, I probably should have been killed. Actually, in fact, I remember my roommate, who was running with me, came up to me at the time, and I was laying there on my back, and I guess my eyes are open, but I because of the concussion, I couldn't actually see anything. But I do remember hearing him say, "Holy shit, I think he's dead." Which is not really what you want to hear, you know? And so I tried to communicate that I was not, in fact, dead. And then I remember the driver of the car getting out and yelling at us in Spanish because I broke his windshield. Not concerned for my health so much as he was for his windshield. Interestingly enough, that started this whole journey for me, because, you know, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know, while the rest of the crew was out surfing and doing other things, I wasn't allowed to participate in a lot of those activities. And so I was left to do a lot of reading, and I happened to be reading Into Thin Air, John Krakauer's book at the time, and which actually inspired me to go on my first adventure, mountain climbing adventure here in Seattle after graduation. So, but it also gave me a chance to really reflect on life. And I'm 19 years old, right? I don't have a ton of life experience, but enough to know that I was sort of floating through college, was not necessarily doing or pursuing an educational path that it was really super exciting for me. I was studying business, you know, and marketing, just because I didn't know what else to do. And, I know I wanted to get into psychology and sociology and a lot of the ologies. And I remember my grandparents saying, "Look, we're paying for part of your education. You're not studying that. You've got to study business or engineering. That's the end of it." So, but it gave me a chance to really think about, you know, I could have died. I maybe should have died in this particular incident. And so now that I've got a new lease on life, a second chance, like, what do I want to do with it? Right. How do I make the most of this? And so what kept coming up for me was that I loved education. I'd worked in education for a few years, you know, in high school, like a summer camp with kids. And then even while I was at university, working in an after-school program, tutoring and mentoring kids and helping them with homework and stuff like that. And so I loved education. And despite getting hit by the car, I became super passionate, or continued my passion for travel and adventure and seeing other cultures and exploring the world.
That's so atypical, I would say, that something like that would inspire you to do it even more. I think it could have gone one of two ways. Either you're like, yeah, this is amazing, the reflection on your life, I need to do something that I love. Right. Or it could have turned you into, this is terrifying and not worth the risk. I'm going back to my couch where I can watch movies of someone else who did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was maybe one of those turning points in your life where, had you chosen the other path, you'd be on a very different podcast right now.
I'd be an engineer stuck in some building someplace doing, no offense to any engineers. But.
I was just going to say, no offense to any engineers who are listening to this podcast. Yeah. You are needed, you are loved, and gosh loved darn it,
yes. People like you. It wasn't the path for me. How's right. that? And it certainly wouldn't have been as fulfilling as what I'm doing now. And, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, it could have gone one of two ways, right? And for me, I remember thinking sort of the overwhelming emotion and thought was, I'm alive. Like, this is cool. I had a great childhood and lots of friends and lots of all that stuff. But, like, this was the first time I'm like, wow, this is what it's like to be alive. Like, this is cool. And it never really struck me to say, no, I, this is dangerous. I don't want to do this. It was, this is awesome, and I want to do more of this. Maybe without the getting hit by the car part, but, you know, at least the traveling part and exploring different places and people and cultures. Yeah.
So did you take a break in between your bachelor's, master's, doctorate, or did you go all the way through?
No. So I took a break in between all of them. So when I graduated from Delaware, I went and worked for almost 4 years in higher education. And interestingly enough, you know, I kept traveling a lot, you know, throughout those 4 years. But what came out of that experience for me, I was doing admissions work at a small college in Philadelphia, which is where I grew up. And so I would travel around the country and meet these students that were looking to go to optometry school. And I eventually became a bit of a mentor or a coach to them, because here were these kids that are, a lot of them were like, my dad wants me to do this, my mom wants me to do this, you know, everyone in the family is a doctor. I don't really want to be a doctor, but optometry seems like a cool path. I don't have to put in 120 hours a week, right? I can, you know, and I ended up playing coach, mentor, and therapist to these students, and I really enjoyed it. And so that got me really interested in sort of pursuing the personal growth, self-improvement path as a career. But at the same time, you know, while I was there working and trying to recruit students to come to our program, I got myself recruited to move out to Los Angeles and go to Pepperdine for my MBA, because they had an international MBA program. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to necessarily stay in higher education. It's just, so I ended up coming out and moving out to Santa Monica and going to school in Malibu for 2 years for my international MBA.
It was like the double agent. The recruiter turning the recruiter.
Yeah. Exactly. And moving to LA was, I mean, talk about an adventure. You know, it's not international, but it certainly was a culture shock. You know, it's very, very different than Philadelphia and where I grew up, and the pros and cons to both. But I really felt at home there. I felt at home in California, and so I stayed there for quite a while. But even while I was at Pepperdine, I left and did a semester abroad. I finally did the full semester studying in Copenhagen at the Copenhagen Business School, and that, you know, the talk about business and soft skills and the idea of self-improvement and personal leadership and how that impacts organizational effectiveness and all that stuff. And that's what I really started to dive into there. And which eventually is what led me to pursuing the doctorate. So when I graduated from Pepperdine,
I'm still trying to put the timeline together, because you're relatively young.
So I graduated.
As many things as you've done.
I graduated Delaware in 2000, worked until 2004 at the college in Philadelphia, moved to LA, did 2 years of full-time MBA, including study abroad, graduated in 2006, started working as an organizational consultant, doing leadership development programs and personal leadership development and those kinds of things, right, which I was very passionate about. Continued to travel throughout all this and hadn't quite figured out how to include travel into this, right? It was a passion of mine, it was one of my passions, and I was pursuing the other in terms of education and leadership development, but really wanted to bring travel into it. And one of my mentors, while I was working in Los Angeles as a consultant, said, hey, you know, you should really, if you want to continue down this path for your career, you need to consider getting a doctorate in education. And so as it turned out, Pepperdine had and has one of the leading programs in organizational leadership and organizational development in the country, in the world. We can also send Pepperdine a bill for the advertising as well.
Oh, I'm typing it up right now.
But, and as I got into that, as I started getting into that educational program there, the Doctor of Education, what kept coming up was the idea of experiential learning. And that as adults, we learn very differently than children learn, right? Children, a lot of it, not all of it, of course, but a lot of it is very additive, right? You're learning capitals, you're learning, you're adding things onto what you know. Whereas as adults, you continue to do that to some degree, but it's more about shifting perspectives and looking at things from different ways and being reminded of things, and evolving your thoughts that way. And so the best way to do that is through experiences.
Is this where you first run into Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey?
Exactly. Yeah. You teed that up. Yes. Yeah, perfectly. Yeah.
It's like I'm in charge of this podcast.
I know, right? You should do this professionally. This is amazing. That's exactly where it came in. You know, as I started getting into the experiential learning piece, and the idea that is the best way for adults to learn, to become more self-aware, et cetera. Of course, I started thinking about my own experiences, and travel is the ultimate way to do that. To have these incredible experiences that are certainly outside of our comfort zones. And so as I started to explore that, Joseph Campbell, The Hero's Journey, all of that came up, and it just became such a clear, yes, this is exactly the process that I've gone through. And I suspect that a lot of it have traveled the world, had, you know, truly life-changing experiences. This is very likely the process that they have gone through in some way, shape, or form as well. So that's what I wanted to really explore in my dissertation.
And you ended up writing your dissertation about the psychological effects of transformational travel or something to that effect, right?
An exploration of transformational learning in adults as a result of adventure travel experiences.
Whew. So... basically transformational travel.
Basically, I'm a doctor in transformational travel. Exactly.
And so what do you do with that? Like, how do you go from learning and researching to starting Muddy Shoes Adventure? Because that was your first kind of business that you started, right? Was Muddy Shoes Adventure?
Yeah, it was. So throughout that process of doing the research and interviewing people and looking at their different experiences, I started thinking to myself, someone's got to be doing this, right? This is too obvious, right? And as I started looking around, doing my literature review, you know, exploring the market analysis, et cetera, like the only folks that I found that were doing it consistently were Outward Bound and Knowles. And most of their work, certainly at the time and even now to a large degree, is focused on adolescents, teens, youth, those behavioral issues, et cetera. And there wasn't a lot for the healthy, relatively healthy, mentally stable adult who is discontented. They didn't like their work. They don't like their job. They're in a relationship they don't want to be in, or not in a relationship and do want to be in one, or whatever their challenges and opportunities are. How do they get out there and explore the world with some support potentially? And there just was nothing there. And that was really where Muddy Shoe came from.
So you guide people through their midlife crisis.
I hadn't put it that way, but yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
I don't know anyone, not a single person who has not had some form of a midlife crisis. I mean, not to the extent where, you know, they totally shift their entire life, but I don't know a single person who hasn't thought of some of those questions that you brought up. You know, am I happy at my job? Am I happy in my relationship? Am I happy in my life?
It makes total sense, and it's true. And that's sort of the beauty of this, is that, you know, everyone, it doesn't need to be a traumatic experience. You don't need to be dealing with, or you could just say, hey, I've accomplished so-and-so and I'm ready for more. I want to do something different, but maybe I'm not quite sure how to pivot or where to go. For some, it is some of the challenges that I mentioned before, you know, but there's points that you can identify along the way. Oftentimes they happen when you're a little bit on the younger side. You know, it's the recent college grads that are trying to figure out what they want to do, and they realize that bartending and serving, no offense to bartenders and servers, is not where they want their long-term career to be.
We're going to have to put a huge disclaimer on this podcast of no offense.
but it's not where they want to be. And then you've also got, and this is getting out there a little bit, but the idea of Saturn's return. Have you ever heard of this?
No. What is it?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do it terrible justice by trying to describe it, but it's essentially the idea that, you know, every 30 years or so, Saturn returns to, it does a complete loop around the sun, or ends up being at the same point where it was when you were born. And that it's just a nice, you know, convenient excuse for saying, hey, when you turn 30, things start to hit the fan a little bit and you start to question your life and where you're at and where you're going and what you want to do. And some people blame it on Saturn. I don't know. I'm not sure if I do, but it's...
I'm going to start blaming it on Saturn. I didn't know that that was an option.
So you know, you get to that point where you're about 30 and you've been working for a couple of years, you've started to establish yourself, and maybe you're thinking, hey, what's next? You know, maybe I don't want to be a, I'm going to do it again. Maybe I don't want to be a marketing account executive for the rest of my life. Right.
No offense.
And then of course, and then you go, and this is sort of the treadmill that people find themselves on, right? You go to college, you get a good job, you get a good degree, you get a good job, maybe you get married or you don't, maybe you have kids or you don't, you buy a house or you don't, right? And you're working 60 hours a week and you take your 2 weeks vacation and all of a sudden you wake up when you're 50 and you have a heart attack, right? Like, you know, and that's the path that a lot of folks go down, sort of not intentionally, but just sort of they blindly fall into that. They're on this treadmill. And so certain folks wake up to that along the way, whether it's when you're 24 or 30 or you're late 30s, early 40s, you've got kids, they're turning, you know, they're becoming teenagers and you're, you know, you're looking for something next, your next chapter in your career, your personal life. And so that those are the points where you seem to find a lot of these folks looking for change and growth.
I feel like you prepped that for me. I'm in my mid 30s. I've got kids that are starting to turn into teenagers. I've been making career changes. Wait a minute. Are you interviewing me?
You need to go on.
Is this one of those double agent?
Yes.
You're turning the podcaster into the podcastee?
This is my own podcast now. I've successfully pirated your podcast.
So walk me through some of these adventures, because Muddy Shoes Adventures has kind of been, and correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of swallowed up by Explorer X.
Yeah, it's become a part of Explorer X, exactly. Yeah. And so we, you know, so at Explorer X now, we offer, not to be an infomercial, right, but we've got three different types of products, which I think are super cool. Muddy Shoe is one of them, right? And they are a small group, you know, up to 10 people, scheduled departures with a program leader who's an expert in a particular field. So we've got folks that are into...
Are they the ones on your website where it has, like, the name of the place, and it'll say like April 2019, and then it'll say another place, and it'll say like March 2019 or whatever.
So yeah, that's
the
it.
Muddy Shoes Adventures. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the Muddy Shoe collection. So we're gonna be launching a series of trips. We're designing, you know, as we speak, to different parts of the world and throughout North America as well. But the idea is that you travel with a small group of people that are interested in learning about themselves, learning about the world, having meaningful conversations, and they're being led by a program leader who's there to spark and inspire and motivate and create space for conversation and reflection and all that. So
how true to the name are they? I mean, are your shoes going to get muddy on all of these, or are some of them not as, I don't even know how to word this, out in nature?
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to provide a really nice variety. You know, some of them are going to be higher end. Some of them are going to be more financially accessible. So financially accessible, maybe, for folks. You know,
you don't want to say cheap.
don't want to say cheap. No. Financially accessible is a good word. Some of them are going to be local. You know, I say local, but here in North America, a lot of them are going to be outside of. In South America, we've got some, we've got plans for a Greenland trip and,
fun.
You know, a Tasmania and all that, you know, and some of them are going to be more focused on exploring through culture and conversation that way, culinary experiences, et cetera. And others are going to be more adventurous. We've got a 10 days in the Amazon, right, where you're rafting and walking through the jungle and your shoes will quite literally get muddy there. But either way, the idea is that, you know, we a lot of us have this approach where we try to keep ourselves neat and clean and nice, and the idea is that Muddy Shoe is not just literal but also figurative, right? That you're out there and you're getting dirty, right? You're figuring things out. You're willing to dive into parts of yourself and conversations that you typically avoid because they're uncomfortable. but that's the only way through a lot of this to where you want to be, to success, whatever that means for you.
It reminds me, so I'm reading Brené Brown's newest book, the Dare to Lead or something. I'm not going to bill her because I can't remember the title of her book.
Yep.
But it's kind of like her concept of vulnerability, of being able to be vulnerable with other people.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, it's for us, Jake and I and at Explorer X, and frankly, a lot of the folks that you've interviewed, you know, I think believe in the power that travel has to just open your eyes, open your heart to possibility. You know, I mean, one of the things I firmly believe is that, you know, a lot of us, including myself, go out there, we explore the world, we're looking for answers to questions. You know, the reality is the answers are inside us, right? It's just the experiences that we have, the people that we talk to, the things that we do along the way can unlock the door to those answers, right? And it's important to do that, right? Because otherwise we may not have been able to get those answers, to find them. But all that stuff is inside of us anyway.
Perfect. So talk about the other two arms of the business.
So the other part of the business that we're really excited about and that's generating a lot of buzz is called Project X. And so that's where we'll sit down with a traveler or travelers, have a very thorough discussion about why they're traveling, the kinds of things they like to do while they're traveling, where they've been, maybe some places that are on their bucket list, when they can go, how much money, all those things. But we leave the where and the what out, right? And what we end up doing then is designing a trip for them where they don't know where they're going until maybe the day before they leave, or even in some cases when they get to the airport. So we're not the first ones to do this, but we're certainly, we've done a few of them and it's been, I would say, wildly successful so far. And so
I imagine that it would be, but that just like made my little anxious heart leap. Like, I don't know if I could do that, if I could let go of that control.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's a nice menu of options that we've got for folks, right? If you want to go on a group trip, we've got that for you, right? You can be in conversation with others and your program leader. If you really want to dive into the unknown, right? One of our things is journey into the unknown. Well, this is the Project X is a great way to do that. You go out there and explore the world, but you don't know where you're going until the day before, until you get to the airport. So that's for some folks. And then the third part is we've got just, you know, our classic custom design trips where we would sit down and have a very similar conversation as we would with Project X, but then we collaborate on, you know where you're going, you know what you want to do, and we're going to work on putting that together for you, but doing it in a way that is unique and different than how most other operators would do it. And so people can then sort of bob and weave in and out of those things throughout, because we want them to come back and become travelers for life with Explorer X, right? We want to be their travel coach, their travel mentor. We want to build this and foster this relationship with them. So they say, hey, Michael, man, I'm going through this thing. I think it's time for me to just go on a Project X, you know, and I'll design that. Or say, hey, you know, I'm really feeling isolated in my work and I want to get out there with a group of people and go hiking through Switzerland for 10 days. And do you have a muddy shoe trip for me? And we can go do that or whatever it might be.
So are the Project X trips group or individual?
So for now, they're individual. You know, it could be a solo traveler or a couple or even a family. For now, we do have some ideas for the future about doing a Muddy Shoe X. So we would get a series of, you know, up to 10 people to sign up for a trip. No one knows where they're going and they all meet upon arrival. And even maybe not even knowing where they're going necessarily when they get to the airport, but just sort of like where their final destination is, but they finally, you know, get there together.
And then they vote each other off one by one.
They feed each other to the lions. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, a little calmer version of Survivor, but you get food.
Essentially, yeah, that's it, you know. No, but, I mean, the idea is that travel, you know, at its, as we say on the website, travel at its roots is about exploration, right? And I haven't been in the industry nearly as long as some of the other folks that you've spoken to, but I've been there long enough to know that travel has gotten away from where it needs to be, and it's become commoditized and commercialized. But what we're trying to do is really maybe push the boundaries a little bit, you know, give people an opportunity to really, you know, as Joseph Campbell would say, answer the call to adventure, cross the threshold of adventure, get into the zone unknown, and really explore the world in a different, meaningful, more intentional way, eyes wide open, all that stuff. And so if I ask a client, you know, if you had all the time and all the money in the world, you know, what do you want to do? And we're doing that over a coffee shop. I'm going to get a very different response if I ask that same question. We're hiking through the Alps, right? And probably one that's going to be a little bit more, or again, a lot more aligned with their true desires and their true passions and what they really want. They're letting go of the idea that, you know, these are the expectations and responsibilities and I have to be rational, right? And that's what we hope that people will at least pursue in some way, shape, or form through this travel experience. Yeah.
That's perfect. I can tell that you're really passionate about it and that you love what you do. Why don't you share, if you can, a couple stories of where you've seen transformational travel, either in yourself or someone else, and don't name the person because I don't want to have to hunt someone down and ask them if we can use their name in the podcast, but just something that's happened that's been transformational, just to kind of give us a working model that we can actually look at.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'll share two or three. One is when I first started Muddy Shoe, I had a small group of us went to, again, I was in Los Angeles. So we went out to Joshua Tree for a weekend of hiking, and one of the people that came was a yoga teacher. So we did some yoga, and there's some rock climbing there that we did, and so that was a lot of fun. And there was one woman that went, and she had moved from Chicago to Los Angeles to pursue a career in travel marketing, and it wasn't going as well as she had hoped, you know. And she made this huge move across the country and then was really, frankly, pretty miserable with it. And so in the course of a conversation, you know, while we're out there hiking one day, I said, look, if you had all the time and all the money in the world, what would you do? And she's like, I love travel. I love marketing. I also love New Zealand. I would love to promote New Zealand. Like, that's what I would love to do. She spent a year there in undergrad as part of her study abroad program. And So I said, well, how can you make that happen? She said, well, I could call the New Zealand Tourism Board and maybe they'll hire me. And I said, great, let's do it. I'm living in Santa Monica at the time. She lived in Santa Monica at the time. We got back on Sunday night. Monday morning, I get a call from her. She's crying. So, of course, in my mind, I'm like, oh, crap, I broke her.
I ruined her life.
Like, what have I done? And she's like, no, you don't understand. The New Zealand Tourism Board is two blocks from my house and they're hiring. And so she went, applied, walked in, like, and within a month was working there. And she worked there for the better part of 3 years before she moved on to something bigger and better. And so that was a really cool, practical example of that.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah. We had another young woman who's actually working. This is sort of the similar idea, right? The recruiter gets recruited. She was working for us at Muddy Shoe for about a year, helping with PR and social media and marketing and those kinds of things. And it would go on a lot of these trips, you know, and it was doing some of her own work. You know, she would participate in the conversations and the journaling and et cetera. And eventually she came up to me one day and she said, hey, I've got some bad news. I was like, okay, what's going on? What can I help you with? What can I support you with? And she said, I'm moving to Costa Rica. And I said, well, that's amazing. Like, why is that bad news? And she's like, well, I thought you'd be disappointed. You know, I'm leaving. But you know, I've been doing the work. I've been engaged in these conversations that we have every week with our travelers. And I've been doing a lot of personal, you know, reflection and introspection. And I just kept coming back to the idea that I wanted to teach English as a second language someplace else in the world. So I applied for this program and I got in. And so, you know, she went and she did that for 9 months and then eventually went and lived in Thailand for a year after that, teaching English as a second language, and then moved to Spain for a few months. And I've sort of lost touch with her a little bit in the years since then. But I know that it, literally at that time, she had graduated from university, living in LA, was serving tables, was looking for a career path that was really inspiring for her. And I think that the conversations we had at Muddy Shoe were really what inspired her to go and do that.
I've heard it said before that you're working for a good company if you can leave with your integrity intact, meaning you can leave and people still respect you. And obviously you do because you followed her through her career and whatever. And so that actually speaks very highly of Muddy Shoe's adventures and probably spills over to Explorer X.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I love what I do, and everyone that works for us is just, they're good people. They're passionate about this work. They're passionate about travel. We're passionate about you know, I know I sound like Miss America, but changing the world and saving the world through travel. I mean, we really believe that the best way to do that is by getting people out there and into communication with others, you know, understanding other cultures, looking at different perspectives. And, you know, one of the quotes that I came across, and I don't know who it's from, so, you know, again, disclaimer, but is that the only reliable source of action is how we see the world. You know, and so if we see the world as a scary and dangerous place, we're going to be very defensive, right? And if we see the world as a place full of opportunity and creativity and positivity and opportunity, then we're going to engage with it that way. And I think travel is the best way to get out there and begin to shift our perspectives in a very positive way.
I feel like I'm going to have to put the song in this section, the heal the world, maybe. Like, it's just going to slowly rise up as you're talking.
Right. I would be okay with that. I think that, I mean, honestly, we need that these days, right? With all the stuff that's going on.
I agree. I'm joking, but in all honesty, I 100% agree. I think we need more honest evaluation like that anyways. So give me one more story.
Yeah. This is a recent one. And this is one that I'm really, really excited about. I had a woman reach out to me in the spring and said, listen, I'm going through some personal stuff. I'm about to turn 40 in April. I'm married. I've got two kids. You know, I've got some things I need to figure out, you know, in terms of my relationships and all that on the home front. And I feel like I need to just get away and do some soul searching and figure out what it is that I truly want. What, you know, do I want to stay married or not, you know, essentially, you know? And so we did a lot of work before she left, talking about why she's going, how to travel in a way that would really allow her to explore some of these questions. You know, I actually bought a book and sent her a book that I thought was really appropriate, which we can get royalties from this, but Elif Shafak's The 40 Rules of Love is a fantastic book about a woman who's just about to turn 40 and dealing with some relationship issues. So I was
hoping it wasn't 50 Ways to Lose Your Lover. So I'm really glad.
No, it was not that. And so she went on this trip, and throughout the trip, we're texting back and forth, and I'm asking her, like, hey, what's coming up for you? What are you learning? What's, you know, where's your head at? You know, and at the end of the trip, she got back and I said, look, like, where are you at? Like, what did you learn? What came up for you? And frankly, do you have any clarity around this? And she's like, you know, at the end of this, I came back to the fact that I love my family and I love my husband, and it's been tough, but I'm recommitting and doubling down to making this work. And so they've done that, and, you know, she's there in couples therapy. I talked to her just the other week, and she seems to be doing really, really well. They're moving forward with that. And you know, she just, you know, not taking credit for this because she's done all the hard work, but we created the space for that to happen.
I love that. I love that it's about real people with real situations in real life. Michael, it has been an honor to chat with you. It's actually been really fun to learn more about you and Muddy Shoes Adventures and Explorer X and all the things that you guys are doing there. Why don't you leave us with just your biggest nugget of advice for adventure travelers today?
It's a great question. You know, I would say travel as often and as frequently as you can. Do your best to, as we like to say at Explorer X and the Transformational Travel Council, travel like a hero, right? Travel with heart and go with intention, go on purpose, right? Know that this is, you're looking to get something out of this, right? Really try to engage in that experience in a meaningful way, right? Talk to people, take the public transit, right? Get into conversations with local people, ask questions of others about where to go to eat and what to do and what their favorite, you know, musician is and how you can go listen to them. Take time to reflect on what you're learning, not just when you get home, but while you're there, right? Bring a journal, meditate, pray, do whatever your practice is, go and do that, right? And throughout this entire thing, you've got to be open to whatever emerges, right? Go with an open heart, go with open eyes, you know, go with an open mind and really embrace all of that. Is that whatever happens along the way is, this is what's supposed to happen. And I'm going to learn from that. And I think if you do that and you do those things, you're going to come away in some way, shape or form, big or small, your life is going to be changed.
Perfect. We are going to end it on that. Thank you so much for coming on, Michael.
It was great to be here. I appreciate your time, and I will pirate your podcast later.
Shayna here. I had a great time learning from Michael. I really like when he said that travel has the power to open your eyes and open your heart. Remember to visit adventurewriters.agency to join my mailing list and get updates when a new podcast episode airs. Until next time, farewell.